Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by StrikeForceEnergy.com. Put down the water and grab a fucking drink. Yeah.
Back at it again.
Drinking Bros.
I like that.
Is that the
we
club
need that app.
Yeah.
DJ Khaled.
Drinking Bros.
Hey, since we brought up DJ Khaled to start off with, can we talk about his son, Rocco?
Who's his son?
He had a baby that
has a fucking huge following?
Dude, so he has a son named Assad, who's he was carrying around everywhere. It's a newborn baby. The newborn baby has 650,000 Instagram followers already.
Bro. That's how it is these days. He's starting to build his sons, and his son is so many. But that's not it. Someone recently just had a baby, and they did the same thing. The day they had the baby, they made the Instagram with no fucking pictures on it. It already had 500,000 followers.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, and it was someone famous recently just had a fucking kid, dude. They did the same
McGregor?
Exact thing. Dude, it is McGregor.
Oh, shit, you're right.
Boom.
Yeah, McGregor's son has like, it had no pictures at the time, had 500,000 followers already.
We briefly chatted about this before. Do you think that's good business, Rocco? Would you do it for your kids?
So I've been going over that in my head, whether I should or shouldn't actually hear soon, right? Because one of my daughters wants to do acting, one of my sons wants to do acting. And so I thought about, do I start building them up now? And I think this is kind of what I came to a conclusion is, when it gets to that point, if my social media is where I would like it to be, right? So they say if my social media sometimes jumps in the millions, well, at any point, I can create a huge following for her when I choose to, right?
Right.
So I think I'll wait until that time is needed and then create the space.
Better for them to be super sure about what they want to do and
correct.
Pursue personally than
instead
getting
of throwing
them
in
the, notoriety.
Of
yeah, yeah.
Yes.
You got it.
Yeah,
welcome back to Drinking Bros.
So that's what I was thinking, Ross. I've thought about it too, man, because like, man, you know, if the kids want help, obviously the way we can help them is through social media and build their fucking, you know, their platform.
Yeah.
But no, man, I'm going to wait until I know that's what they want to do. And hopefully by then I have more followers and then it can just, you know, just pretty much hand off with the followers.
Well, the reason I ask, I see Logan Paul, right? He's got a gajillion followers. And then I see his brother who's now popping up in
shit. Getting big, dude. Well, he signed with fucking Disney, I believe it was.
Yeah, and so I'm like, all right, cool. Is that the route? Like, did Logan say, oh shit, yo, you got to get a fucking Instagram and get your shit up? Like,
well, that's, dude, it looks like his brother's actually pretty funny too, though. You know what I'm saying? So his brother had some kind of a skill set that was easy to build off of because right away that motherfucker got signed with Disney and
he has his own
show.
If you're good looking, let's face it, that's your first skill set. Second, you know, you can be halfway funny like Amanda Cerny. And get
Are
a
you
goddamn...
just describing me right now?
No,
Amanda started out with Playboy.
Yeah, Amanda's she's an attractive
she
woman.
She has both things going for her. Like, you could get online and see her naked.
Right, she had a following because she was good looking and she did the Playboy. And then
a personality because too many females just post these like artsy things. She actually goes on camera and has a quirky kind of fun personality.
She partnered up with the right people too. That's when Vine was kicking off and then they jumped off of Vine and went more to the Instagram vibe. And then her partners are one of them is Logan, right? And so they helped kind of create a fucking following for all of them through those videos.
Smart.
Now, dude, so a lot of her original videos were with Logan, with the Logan character, and several other of those Viners that end up going into the Instagram space. So that's how she started getting big because
there's
funny.
Power in numbers, man. You've got to start tagging each other and do all that shit. I like yours, Rocco, because you post a lot and your numbers are getting high. You were like 84,000.
Yeah, I post a lot, dude. No, here's what I do.
I think it's good.
And I see, if something makes me laugh, I post it.
You should plug your Instagram because I've been fucking laughing lately with all the memes you've been doing.
So my my Instagram is vincent.rocco.vargas, you know, and that's the same as the Facebook. But my Instagram is where I have fun, man. My Facebook is a little different, right? It's more, it is, I post randomly on there. But my fun is fucking Instagram. And yeah, dude, I find some funny ass meme and I fucking post it or whatever makes me laugh that morning or a video and I, you know, I snag it or whatever the case. But it's just me and my brain, whatever's going on in there.
I love that. Cause
I like it too. Yeah. Cause it makes you feel like you're going to miss something if you don't go and check it because you post a lot and I like it. Kevin Hart does that shit too.
It's consistent entertainment, which is like what the way I run my social media, I don't really do that. It's like once every couple weeks. So it's like yours. It's like consistently I get a
dude, I do it myself. Like if it makes me laugh, I'm like, oh fuck, I'm posting.
There was one meme you did lately. I was like, God, that was fucking funny. Dude, the video you and Jared shot with Eli, that was fucking great.
Oh, the fucking
the taco
one was that?
The taco one's good. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, this is my favorite one. The one that goes when my smart friends start talking about investment opportunities and like, how many is that in tacos?
Yeah, that's the one. It was like, how many is that in tacos?
Yeah, I fucking love those.
Hey, dude. By the way, your boy Danny Trejo opened up a new donut and coffee shop in LA that is destroying the game.
Yeah, he did, man. You know what's funny though? Here's this funny thing about like something we don't need to do because I think we have enough reach to go and start our own fucking things, but. People are coming to him and asking him, like, hey, would you put your name on this?
Yep.
I'm going to own it. And he doesn't do nothing, dude. All he does is show up for when, you know, there's some kind of contract where he shows up.
Opening day.
To meet and greet. Right. Yeah. Opening day, meet and greet once a month, whatever he does, his fucking post on social media. And he gets a percentage, a chunk of whatever the fuck that business is doing. And just because he's such one of those, everyone loves that motherfucker, right? Like everybody.
Who doesn't like Danny Trejo?
Right. And so, dude, it's a package fucking idea for him. He needs. I guarantee you, we'll see probably two other different ideas that come up from the same thing.
Which is a brilliant model because you know he's getting older, and when he ends up passing one day, like I'm sure his family will benefit from those investments.
People don't realize
fantastic.
He's 72 now. I believe it is. He was 71 during the movie. He's 72 now. I believe.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got a really smart agent. Her name is Gloria Hinojosa, and I've hired him a few times for the movies. And here's an interesting fact. When I was there, I had a sit-down meeting with her maybe 3 or 4 years ago for Pool Boy for the first time. And he, by the way, one of his first products was actually bagged coffee.
No shit.
Dead serious. So she pulled out, in the meeting, she pulled out this coffee and she was like, dude, we're going to start branding Danny. Danny's going to start doing a bunch of shit. And she pulled out a bag of coffee and it was all black. So the bag itself was all black. There was no nothing on it whatsoever. And it was going to be Danny Trejo's.
Get a cease and desist, Trejo. No, I'm just kidding.
Coffee. Well, this was maybe three totally or four kidding. Years ago, but I'm not sure if they use that coffee for the shop itself or if they're not doing that idea anymore, but, she's smart, man. Like the branding he's doing is, that motherfucker's everywhere these days.
Yeah, that's great.
It's fucking awesome.
Yeah, he's awesome. Well, shit, welcome to the show, kids. As you know, we got some sponsors who pay for this whole fucking shit wagon to be on the air.
Dude, I want that.
Dude, I'm going to have the editor sprinkle that in throughout the show.
This whole episode?
just for Assad and DJ Khaled, dude.
Oh, God.
Because every post DJ Khaled makes, by the way, today is like, man, this is for you, Assad. I love you, Assad. I'm doing this for you. I'm recording with Rihanna for you today, Assad. It's become really funny, and I started following about? DJ Khaled.
DJ Khaled, he has a newborn son, and he created the Instagram for him.
I thought you were talking about like the president of Syria.
So the way he's promoting his son's Instagram is he'll post a son, tag his son, and he's telling him like he's doing all this shit for him. So
yeah, but he'll bring the baby on stage with him at Coachella and shit where you're just like, yo, a baby shouldn't be on stage at Coachella right now.
Bro, that's his culture, dog.
DJ Khaled.
Yo, look at this best. We the best. My baby the best.
Dude, they don't want to see me succeed. They don't want to see me successful.
Yeah.
DJ Khaled.
But he had those giant headphones on the baby, too, because like the crowd was so loud.
Dude, the DJ thing, like the DJ culture, like I seriously think they are some of the most popular people on Instagram.
No, it's getting big right now. So a lot of these DJs or have some of the hit songs. It's like this DJ featuring a fucking whatever, Missy Elliott, but it's the DJ's fucking album, dog.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that
yeah,
was sick but as on, fuck.
Like Chainsmokers. Just, the Chainsmokers
trying to analyze
hits in the top fucking 40 right now.
Who the like essentially who the most popular, like what the most popular subculture is on Instagram, and I think it's the DJs.
Dude, they're
like,
crazy.
If you push out big sports stars and stuff like that, because I mean they're already famous. Yeah. Like
no, but they don't
DJs
have
come out of nowhere, yeah. and all of a sudden are 4 million people like this person, and he wears a mask. I don't even know what he looks like.
I need to start my one, the DJ Scratchatory Rape. That's the
We might have to change the name a little bit.
Why?
No. I don't know.
Come on.
I like that a lot. Like, I guarantee you that'll be snapped up about 10 seconds after the show airs, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
DJ
Dude, there's
Scratchatory Rape.
There's actors that there's a lot of pro athletes that don't have huge followings on social media.
Yeah,
dude.
I know.
And these fucking big DJs actors, have like 20 like, fucking something mil, right? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. What?
You're like, what you think about the cultures that like watch fucking DJs comparative to
yeah, all
you
their
know,
phones are out.
Yeah.
You have
yeah.
300, you're playing for 300,000
people. When they want to tag it like at fucking DJ Butthole's fucking concert.
Seeing DJ Butthole.
The way he presses that space bar on that MacBook is epic.
I know, no kidding. Dude, because I went to I went to an EDM thing with Vincent Marcus, and we were supposed to be kind of like the entertainment for the DJs. Like,
did you take Molly? Did you take any fucking Molly?
No.
But I took Molly, my friend Molly, not the
there?
Drug. Though.
But yeah, when a musical artist shows up with nothing but a thumb drive to plug into a computer,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, wait, what the fuck?
It's a whole different world, bro. It's something we missed out on. Like, how did I miss
well,
that?
Well, no, Ross, you might have heard of this. There was a chick that wrote for Vice that as a joke, started to market herself as a DJ, and within 6 months became an extremely popular and high paid DJ in the EDM world just from photography,
yep.
creating a website, telling people she was at certain places with certain people, and then all of a sudden she got her first like booking for almost $3,500 to go DJ. So she had to learn it. And then by the end of the experiment, she was getting paid $35,000 to go do EDM concerts.
Let's launch an EDM one.
I'll take it a step further, Jared. Paris Hilton signed with Young Money, Cash Millionaires.
No.
Yeah. So and she gets $100,000 to spend for an hour, and it's literally just her and a fucking iMac. You know, like that's it.
That's all it is.
Yeah. She literally does it?
She dabbles.
She does it.
Well, I'm sure what they do is like they actually have some poor bastard who's actually talented in mixing music that creates a fucking, you know, whatever
the
set's going to be.
Mix.
Yeah, and then she goes on stage and just like does like messes with the synth a little bit and then presses a space bar for the beat to drop.
You put a little fucking headset on her and everyone looks like DJs.
You know what's fun to watch? Go fucking DJs troll their crowd. It is fucking awesome. So it's all these huge ones.
That's
like
funny.
There's like 50,000. He goes, womp, womp. And then they just turn the music off and then the whole crowd goes like, oh, and then the beat hits, but they build the whole beat up for like that 30 seconds,
so dope,
and then the drop
dude.
Doesn't happen. I love it. Just
I
cool.
watched an entire DJ movie, that fucking Zac Efron movie where he's a DJ. I'm not gonna lie, I fucking enjoyed it. I really did.
That's cool.
They made a whole movie out of that whole culture. So it's pretty fucking funny. The guy Wes Bentley from American Beauty's in it. The guy with the bag blown in the air. He's his mentor in the DJ world. And he's just trying to work his way out of the valley. Dirty. Anyways, we got some sponsors to pay for this shit.
Yeah.
Strike Force Energy is the choice for all DJs worldwide. Strike Force. Yeah, exactly. Call in the Strike Force. It's the tastiest, tiniest little tin pouch of energy that's liquid, actually. A lot of people ask, is it powder or is it liquid? It's liquid. It goes in every other liquid. It goes in beers, waters, Kool-Aids, you name it. And they've got flavors. They've got lemon, orange, grape. Grape's my jam. Make America grape again. Go to strikeforceenergy.com. Get yourself a little 10-pack if you need to start off. Or get a big boy subscription, dude. And yeah.
You got it?
I fucking love it.
Oh my god.
Go to strikeforceenergy.com, type in the promo code Drinking Bros. You get 20% off. They ship everywhere in the entire world, kids. So you can even get it in fucking Australia. Bam, 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 bam.
Look at it. What's that?
It's a girl just saying ham. Ham.
What the hell?
Like that? That's.
I'm surprised you don't have one that just says hot dog. Hot dog.
God, Jared's gonna be the sound effects guy. This
sound
episode
effects king. Next up, we've got ghostbed.com. Show us your worst beds, kid. We've got a bed right now on our Instagram page. That is the worst bed you'll ever see. They're giving away a free bed to whoever has the shittiest mattress out there and wants a new bed. And by the way, they're giving away any size. I was like, dude, are you just giving away like a twin? They were like, no, we'll give up to a California King away if you want one. But you got to put your worst bed up online. Hashtag it with fuck this bed and then tag at ghostbed on Instagram. And we will feature it on our Instagram. The one that's in the one that's winning
right
now is disgusting.
This fucking mattress is awful.
It's terrible.
God.
I mean, there's semen, there's blood, there's urine on that mattress. Like, and again, he says, I don't know how it got there. It's like, yes, you do. Yes, you do, you dirty motherfucker. But look,
how do you not know stain unless you bought it like used? But come on, man, that you don't buy a fucking used freaking mattress.
Oh,
it's just
God,
gross.
Yeah. Bro, that is so nasty.
Well, look, he might end up winning a free bed. So, shit, maybe we're the losers. maybe we're the fucking losers.
Maybe you got to hit rock bottom before you can hit rock top. That's, I don't know if rock top's a thing, but it should be.
Rocky top
is a thing. Yeah.
Rocky top. Will go to fucking ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. You get $50 off a new mattress. They're also giving away 3 free pillows when you buy a mattress, and their pillows are the fucking jam.
They are the jam.
They've got a rad thing that they're doing where they're giving you a real ghost too. So when you order it right out of the box, a real ghost gets unleashed in your house, and that's a fun thing. You can chase the ghost around. So go to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros.
You like free Casper with every purchase?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, no. Casper's their competition. They're dicks. they were not happy we fucked on their bed for the 100th episode.
What?
That's what I heard.
Oh, geez.
Oh God. They should get over that.
They thought maybe
like you make mattresses. What the fuck do you think happens on them? Yeah. That's just you being unreal like a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
You know
people had sex on a bed.
Yeah, you know who encourages fucking on their beds? Ghost bed. So.
Exactly.
Because that's what
fuck
you do.
Casper. Casper can fucking eat dicks.
Do you say fuck Casper, fucking your ghost bed?
Yeah. Fucking your ghost
bed.
That
doesn't sound funny.
Fuck a Casper, fuck on a ghost bed.
Like, exactly.
You're just dude, you're so stupid. If you're a fucking marketing guy or the CEO of a fucking bed company, you're like, oh, people have sex on my bed. No fucking shit. Welcome to reality, you fucking dick face. You have it.
I don't have it.
I'm setting you up for some moments.
I don't have it. That's your sound effect.
You fucking dick face. All right, Ross, what we got next in the heat? We've got another sponsor.
Yeah, next up, we've got GrenadeSoap.com. Hit it, Matt.
Jared, come on. You got to be there.
I'm there.
He got ADD.
Ross, I need it again.
Next up, we've got GrenadeSoap.com. GrenadeSoap.com.
We've got this one. Like, so, Ross, it's like, what's do it you called? Have a different kind of soap?
Now you can introducing grenade soap.
Yeah, dude.
We should just read every sponsor like that.
That's how we should forever. Yeah. Grenade soap.
Is your skin dry?
Is
do you feel
green
sad when you come out of the shower?
And combat clean. It is. It's the best fucking soap in the biz. All of their shower products, their bathing products are the fucking jam, dude. And their soap is made with real gunpowder, which is fucking awesome. If you want to smell like a man instead of a man's dick, buy a thing of grenade soap.
Got
dude,
the combat
wash
clean
yourself.
And OD green, bro.
Yeah, fucking wash yourself, you sick fuckers. This is the best way to do it. They've also got a sweet taint scrubber in the store and some tactical toothbrushes, which is amazing. Go to GrenadeSoap.com, type in the promo code Drinking Bros, you get 20% off of all that shit. And we
God.
It's gonna give me every time.
Yes. Last
they don't have a dildo scrubber though. Did you see that? They made it, but didn't pass testing. It's just a dildo that
yeah
the to clean your butthole.
The FDA didn't approve the dildo scrubber, right? Is that correct?
Yeah, because essentially it's a prostate cum, and then you have to clean up the semen, so it wasn't that clean.
Thank you. I was hoping for it.
Oh man, that was great.
We do need a sound effects board for this show.
Oh my god, that would be so
you
good.
Sat on that too
we
for
should
a while.
Look in, we should look into that. Oh, it'd be so good if I just had it right here. Horn, ham horn. Like.
Crazy.
Your timing on that was impeccable too. Like that one really got me today. That one got me. All right, you know what's up next? Warfighter Tobacco is back.
Yeah.
Where was it? Where was it?
I thought we were
no,
taking
no,
a break.
No, you said Warfighter Tobacco is back.
Oh, yeah. Warfighter Tobacco's back, Jared. There it is.
God.
Warfighter Tobacco gets
ham.
Yeah, they get fucking ham. Where
we
been?
Have a movie horn. We have another one here.
In a world where no tobacco lines up like Warfighter Tobacco, Rocco, a business partner with the best. Buy it today, Drinking Bros, for 20% off.
Big fan. Go to warfightertobacco.com. Type in the promo code UNLEASHDB for 10% off.
DB.
They've got new sizes in production. They're turning their cigars up to 11. Thanks to all the drinking bros for getting to the point where the big cigar companies are getting scared of what a few veterans, some debt cord and a dose of freedom can accomplish. They need your help right now. They're pushing to go nationwide. They're looking for shops who share their values and are worthy of their business. If you have a local shop that wants to carry Warfighter Tobacco cigars, have them reach out and give your contact info to them. And there's a huge cigar trade show coming up. They want your pictures, kids. Go to warfightertobacco.com for all your cigar needs. Type in the promo code UNLEASHDB for 10% off.
Yeah, we want to get a bunch of pictures of some of the guys smoking the cigars.
Yeah.
If you get a bunch of pictures of the guys smoking cigars, you know, we're going to have a trade show. We'll be out there. It's July 10th, I believe, to 14th in Las Vegas. We're going to try and get some cool dudes out there just smoking cigars, hanging out, and using some of the pictures of the community that smokes cigars.
You got a motorcycle noise? You got a motorcycle noise, Jared?
No motorcycle noise.
No motorcycle noise.
I just went through them all, testing them all.
Matt, can you make one before I ask Rocco this next question?
I didn't know how to...
that's good, actually. Holy shit. You're on demand. Rocco, since you're back, dude, I want to talk to you about being on the Mayans. How was it? How was filming the pilot?
Man.
Hey, while you guys are doing that, I got to go do a quick chicken dump.
Oh, boy.
Oh, God. Are you going to go shit?
Dude, I ate all the chicken.
Oh, God damn it, Jared.
Come on. You guys are so depressing. Why can't it be I'm going to do a chicken dump.
No, go ahead. Go ahead and do it.
All right, go dump
get out.
Go
dump
we're going to chat with
you're
Rocco
good.
Then.
Rocco, what was it like being on the pilot for the spinouts of Sons of Anarchy, the Mayans?
Yeah, it was cool, man. Like, the whole experience was kind of unexpected, you know. Steve Howie made some calls for me, and while I was out there, I was actually out there in L.A. filming some Letzinger's Whiskey commercials and as well as the Dads in the Parks. And at the same time, the day before I was leaving, he said, hey, man, they want you to come in. So I got the email, and I showed up. They gave me the lines the day before because... you know, I don't read very well.
So they give you the lines, just the slides?
And yeah, they give you the slides, and they said tomorrow, you know, this is what you're going to be reading for. And the first character I read for was kind of the brute, you know, kind of a brute. And so I read, and, you know, I memorized the lines because that was what I was told. I was like, I should just go completely off paper. So I did.
Yes,
and I
you
felt
should.
Pretty comfortable with. Yeah, and so I felt pretty comfortable with it. And actually, Wendy O'Brien, she's the casting director, she just gave me this huge hug and was like, Yes, that was so good. It was good. Good job. And like, was really excited. And I'm like, she might be bullshitting me, right? You know, because
right.
I don't know. You know, I think...
A lot of yes men in that
industry. Right, exactly. And so I left there thinking like, I don't know. We'll see. But as I'm already getting ready to fly home to El Paso, I got the email saying that now Kurt Sutter is interested in seeing me. He saw the videotape. He saw me read the lines. And so... I ended up having to fly back the next day.
No shit. Yeah, you flew,
so I flew back to El Paso, and this is all coming out of my pocket, right? And those aren't the next day flights are, it gets expensive.
Yeah,
El Paso, right? So I'm dropping, man, money on just these flights. So I fly back, and then they give me two different people now. So I'm reading The Brute, and now I'm reading kind of a reluctant to speak kind of guy, a shyer dude, you know. And so I read the parts, and he was. At first, he's like, he's kind of quiet, right? And I talked to Steve Howie before. I'm like, look, how should I show up? He goes, act like you just don't give a shit. Go in there and fucking, you know what you do, and just fucking do your lines and shake his hand and walk out. I'm like, okay, right? And so I walked in, shook everyone's hand in there, said, nice to meet you guys. And so I was like, you ready to get started, or what do you need? He goes, yeah, please. And I was like, okay. So I read the first one. He was like, that was good. He had one critique. I read it again, done. And then the second one I read, and you saw him light up. And actually, the people in the room actually laughed at the way I did it. Like,
really?
As in, I was able to kind of create the smirk. And he was like, oh, that was good. And he turned his face and looked at them and looked at me and goes, that was good. He was like, well, we'll keep in touch. And I was like, all right, sounds good. And I walked out of there, right? And thinking like, well, it felt like a good reaction, right?
Right, but you can't judge
it. You don't know, you know? And so then I got the email saying I got the part, and I flew home and flew back freaking 3 days later.
Holy shit. Should've just stayed in LA.
Yeah, dude.
How long did you wait?
Before I found out I got it?
Yeah. How long was that wait?
It was 12 hours.
Holy shit, that's fast.
It was quick. And that's why I even, you know, because I'm using Steve Howie as kind of the guy. I talked to you, Ross, and I talked to Steve, and, you know, the guys that kind of been in the biz, and he's like, that's not normal, man. And he was like, it's looking really good for you right now. I'm like, all right, cool, you know, like, excited to see what's going to happen. And then they said I got the part. And so I was like, well, what does that even mean, right? Because, like, the only thing we've ever done is Range 15. So it was like, what does that even mean? So,
right.
So they give me the contract, and I guess I was supposed to tell them, like, I'm okay with that contract because I don't have an agent. I didn't have anything, right? You know, so
yeah.
Apparently, eventually, I told him like, "Yeah, I'm good with it." Like, you know, no negotiating that. It was just kind of really got the good opportunity. I called you, Ross. Remember, I was like, "Hey, dude, what does it sound like?" And you said, "No, that's good. You're getting best in show." Blah blah blah. And I was like, "All right, cool." And so I showed up, dude. And when I showed up, like, I was intimidated, man. Like, this is me not knowing this world as well as some of these guys that to the left and to the right of me, and a lot of these guys have had multiple experiences acting. I mean, you got guys like Emilio Rivera, who's Marcus Alvarez in the Mayans, and as well as guys like Raymond Cruz, who's been in the acting for 30 years now and successful as hell.
Tuco.
And so, yeah, exactly. And so I'm in there nervous about that, if I'm going to be able to perform to a manner where they're going to be proud of, you know? And so, you know, I think I did it justice. I think I did well, and I surprised more people than anything. You know, and so
I'm sure you did.
Crazy experience.
Yeah. What was the difference? What would you say one of the biggest differences between that and Range 15?
Well, obviously, you know, the budget is ridiculous, dude.
Like, crazy, right? Like they're spending what our entire budget is in like a day.
Dude,
things.
So when my first meal there, I got my lunch, right? I'm eating on a tire that's just out there. I'm like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm just eating. They were like, well, go into the lunchbox. I'm like, okay. And I have no clue what the fuck a lunchbox is, Ross.
You're like,
I'm walking in circles.
Yeah.
I'm walking in circles thinking like, what the fuck are they talking about? So I saw this dude go into this building. I'm like, oh, fuck. It's like a portable fucking lunchroom.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I had no idea.
Like a little dining facility?
Exactly, dude. And it's fucking like, dude, that's got to be expensive as fuck, right?
Right.
But I just tripped out like, dude, it's all different. I don't know. I'm sitting there eating on a tire, right?
Like, I don't know. I got food. I'm good.
Yeah. I'm completely comfortable with that. But, you know, the budget on that's insane, dude. Just to see some of the sets and some of the concepts and some of the just the way Kurt Sutter and Elgin, you know, are two very impressive dudes, but Kurt, the way he works is different, right? Like, you know, he's just
the pace
really
is slower, right? The pace is slower. Yeah, they take their time.
And he really is an artist the way he does it, you know? He just, it's really cool. I don't know, man. It's you know, because the way we did it, we were fucking screaming, bro.
Right.
We were filming and running to the next set and filming, jumping in a car and driving to the next location. This was, all right, all day we're going to be here, guys. So just chill. You know, you got your little cooling tent and you just sit there and eat all the fucking craft services you want. And, you know, and the way, like, when I did a couple scenes, he talks to me. Like, it's different, man. It was a kind of a trip, but you do such, like, man, you're only doing like one sheet, you know, like,
yeah, a day. You're only doing one page a day, which is
and there's
is
not
crazy.
A lot of dialogue.
No, and you're sitting around waiting all day for this one time. What would you, because you're not acting a lot. Would you say you enjoyed that more or less than Range 15?
I think a little bit less. Like I am, the reason I'm interested in that space is because I want to do something challenging. And so I would love to do a challenging dramatic scene and see how, if I can pull that off. Right. But there, dude, there's few and far between, man. And people don't realize that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just the way it's cut. I remember Ross saying that on the set of Range 15, because it was like, remember, he was like, you guys are all nailing the lines. They're like, well, yeah, because we're prepared. But he's like, you just did in one take a whole day of shooting. You know, you're like, oh, fuck. I didn't really realize that that's how things are shot until that, you know,
dude, there's very little times where there's a lot of dialogue. You know what I mean? And if there is a lot, that's probably that only guy's long dialogue that he's going to do the whole episode. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's different, man.
I mean, what we ran like 15 pages a day almost sometimes, right?
I think it was 11 to 15. I think it was 11 to 15.
Yeah, and on a TV show or a movie, you're doing, fuck, man, three? Like it's
3 pages was the most that we did. Yeah, most.
It's crazy. And somebody like Kurt Sutter, because, you know, I like the fact that you said that he's such an artist. When you get to that level, the network allows you to take your time with not only directing it, but your shots. They want it to be perfect. He wants it to be perfect. And they allow him that time because he's made a bunch of hits and you have a bunch of money. I also read that he's taken a bunch of time in editing, which is rare.
Yeah.
Usually,
yeah, he is.
You don't get that. You don't like
he. Go ahead. Yeah, he's talking about this project as this is more of a, this is kind of a passion project for him to see it come to fruition. He's excited about it. He says he's more excited about this project than any of the projects he's ever had before this for multiple different reasons. He likes, man, a lot of these actors spent some time in prison. You know, a lot of these actors, like, listen to this, Ross. It's a room full of about 8 guys. And Kurt goes, you know, I kind of pride myself on the fact that a lot of you guys have more prison time than screen time. Right, and everyone's looking around,
and
these guys are looking at me like, yeah, like kind of give me the head nod, like fuck yeah, bro. And I'm thinking like, not me, dude.
First of all, I was in the military, right. And then I was watching you in jail.
Yeah, I was a prison guard, and then I was putting you in jail.
Right, exactly.
That still counts, Rocco. That's still prison. Yeah,
so it was funny. So we were kind of laughing. Eventually, they start to know about me, and you know they're pretty excited about just working together, And the reason why that's kind of make this show more powerful is it's more authentic, man.
100%.
Yeah, it's more authentic.
Hey, I read something interesting a couple of days. Kurt Sutter did an interview with Vulture, and he said there was 2 gay characters in this one, which was surprising to hear.
Yeah, Rocco and me. I got a cameo real quick.
Really? Did he really say that? That's interesting.
He did say that, and he said he was taking his time with the edits. He also said he wouldn't reveal any more information than that. So,
bro, that's so funny. Character.
Yeah, he was really excited about the show. He's taking his sweet time with it, which, look, somebody like that deserves to. And if you have the time, you can. Usually you shoot a pilot. A lot of people don't realize this. Usually you shoot a pilot and it goes in pilot season, but you only have a little under 6 weeks to edit it and get it into the network. With FX, you can take your time with things like that. There was a Zach Galifianakis show called Baskets that was there that they spent a lot of time on as well to get it right. And it's cool. So it's...
When did they give you a timeline as far as when the pilot will be known if it gets picked up? It's going to get picked up.
They've given some some projections. They want to start filming in September sometime maybe. But there's already been a little bit of pushback, so it might be a little bit later than that. You know, they go through the initial edits and gets pushed forward, and then, you know, then FX kind of decides whether that's kind of the route that they want as well, right? Because Kurt's vision is one thing, but what FX wants is another.
Right.
And so I think there's a little bit of pushback. So I think, hands down, it's getting picked up. How soon will we start getting into the filming? Man, it could even be early next year should we start.
Okay.
You know? So... you know, I'm just waiting for the call right now. It's kind of like, it's like, you know, dead air right now. Nothing's going on, you know?
I bet he won't be finished editing that till, you know, the end of June, July. So it's a 1-hour drama is a big task to take on. And especially if you want to get it right. The FX gives you freedom like that over there. All their shows seem to be like that. I mean, shit, they're doing some cool shit. They always have been for a long time. So. That's fucking rad, man. Everybody who's written onto the into the show has been excited and wanted to hear your experience on that. So that's fucking cool, man.
No worries, man. It's a scary thing. I was talking to Raymond Cruz, and he was like, you know, I spend about 9 months out of my life acting. Like, there's very few times I'm home. And so it scared the shit out of me because I'm I'm a homebody, right? And so I just, it's a good experience. I'm going to ride it out, this show, until it's over. And then I'll make a decision whether Hollywood is for me, right? Like, whether the acting thing is what I want, or I'm almost more comfortable just doing our own things, right? Like the stuff that we do when we're on our own schedule.
Yeah, but also some of these productions are super cool if it's just a couple weeks out of the year.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I mean,
this one I have coming up is only 9 days of filming.
Right. Like, and that's what it is. It's like, we'll see how it goes. But if you're going to keep me away from the house 7 months out of the year, like, I'm good. I'm good. That sucks. No, thank you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, unless it's like, fuck you month and then you or money, and then you ride it out for maybe 2 years.
Exactly. Exactly.
Make sure your kids all have a college fund.
Yeah, exactly. Put a million in all their bank and I spend everything else.
Yeah, exactly.
But here's the thing. You can't ride it out for 2 years. If you sign on as a regular, series regular, they'll sign you to a six-year deal.
It's a six-year deal, yeah. Ooh. Which I'm not signed as that yet.
Yeah, but. You but I can.
We don't know.
When they lay that down, if they lay that down, that's going to be the hardest decision you'll have to make.
100%.
I got
100%.
That's what pushed me into doing my own company was one of those. I got hired on a fucking a college show at 30 years old, and it was a 6-year contract, and I would not have graduated college until 36 years old. And that was a big decision. The money wasn't sick, but. I will say this. The show did end up going the full 6 years, though.
Damn.
So you never know. And
that's a hard decision because then where they're filming is where you're moving, essentially.
That's what I'm saying. I'm about to move here in 10 days. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to have to pick up in a couple of years and move to L.A. You know what I mean? It's really not what I plan for myself. I plan to move here and hopefully settle in for the long haul, you know, for the kids, for the family reasons and everything. So right now, like I said, we're going to run with it and see what happens.
Well, more opportunities are always better than less opportunity.
Yeah, exactly. So. Yeah, it's not a bad problem to have right now.
It's not. I can tell you, look, one of my best friends is on a 1-hour show for Fox. I'm not going to say what it is, but he was living in Alabama with his kids. He's got 3 kids, and he was the same way. He was like, man, I'm not leaving here. I want to raise my kids or whatever. They backed up the truck, and you can bet your sweet ass he's living in L.A. right now. So,
How does $1 million an episode sound? Sounds like we'll be in L.A. tomorrow.
Sounds like we'll be in L.A., kids. Better start speaking Spanish again. Because you never know, man. You never know. I'll be really curious to see what happens in your path with all this. Because, dude, you've been through those days now. They're fucking long. That's a long goddamn schedule. And, you know, that eats up most of your year. So that's something that you'd have to be prepared for.
Yep.
Or
it's tiring.
Or you can go the other route, like the Katherine Heigl route, and be a complete cunt after 4 seasons and get yourself fired. And then, you know, blacklist yourself in Hollywood. Either way, the choice is yours.
Either way, it's up to you.
That's what she did on Grey's Anatomy.
You can never think that you're not irreplaceable.
Yeah.
Like, that's the problem. With so
Grey's Anatomy is on its fucking 13th season, for Christ's sake. So, yeah. She is back doing television and has failed miserably at it the last two years.
Yeah. She's done a few movies and then nothing else.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it's...
I think that'll be fun for, like, Black Rifle and all of us as a collective as going forward is to really do some cool production stuff.
Yeah.
Like, once we have to focus less on the building and more of, like, let's shoot a fucking TV like thing ourselves with our own production company, because I know we could sell it and we'd have creative control. It'd be fucking awesome.
It would be rad.
Facebook is offering shows right now. They're doing original content and they're reaching out to people for shows.
We're pro gun though, so that will never happen with us.
You never know, man. That gun shit, once they look at the ratings, I think once Facebook is in the actual ratings game against like Netflix and all this other shit, they'll change their tune.
More of an entertainment piece.
Yeah, because I mean,
which I guess they've been fairly okay with having entertainment that's gun related. It's when you do anything as far as like actual firearm sales, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
It's anything to do with like real physical interaction with firearms rather than an entertainment based firearm show.
Yeah. And by the way, your name came up in a couple agency things this week, Matt. And if you don't mind, I'd love to chat about your situation as well.
Sure.
You were here in Wilmington over the weekend. Not to sound douchey or a dick, it's just kind of true. But like, I've known you for a few years at this point. Your level of fame has reached a tipping point where we can't go like 20 feet anymore.
We saw that on this last flight, like the Tampa trip was pretty apparent.
Dude,
everywhere we went.
In Wilmington, North Carolina, I mean, every fucking... it got to the point, so I remember... And Matt is super humble in real life, by the way. Nothing like his videos and shits.
Oh, I want to talk about that douchebag after this.
Yeah,
so
exactly. Exactly. But I will say this. So we went out downtown because you were in town. We were working on the book for about a week. We went out downtown and it was, fuck, man, every 10 feet, it was just Matt Best, Matt Best, Matt Best. And I was like, God damn it, man. You've gotten really fucking famous.
I don't know. It was pretty crazy because it's, you know, I think it was always environmental before, maybe the last couple of years, where if we did an event, you had things to expect. But that was a lot this weekend because you kind of just start to mosey around and it's, you know, people want to hang out with you and that's great. But it's, you know, in my mind, I'm like, man, I've been charging 10 to 12 hours a day in this book with you, Ross. And you're like, I want to go drink with my lady. And then it's like, nope, I have to entertain. And I never want to be like a dick necessarily, but
no, and look, gracious and you were always cool. But by the last bar, when, you know, 12 people came up to his shots at the same time, you were like, hey guys, I'm good. Like I physically can't drink all of these and I got to bounce. And then I remember
I could have, but my dick doesn't get hard and I prefer when my dick gets hard.
Exactly. Exactly. But on the last night you said, hey Ross, I want to go someplace. Cause I was with my child and my wife and, you were with your lady and you were like, let's just go to a place that you go and take your kid to. So nobody will bother us and we can just have a nice meal for our last night. So I took you to this restaurant that was like a family place. And so far, for like 15 minutes in, everybody was cool or whatever. Me and you walk up to the bar to get a drink. And literally, a woman in her late 40s just screams out across the bar in front of all these kids, oh, fuck, you're fucking Matt Best. And I mean, literally, the whole bar stops. And it was like,
shut the fuck up. I didn't even.
And it was like, Jesus Christ.
It's really cool, though. Like, in my mind, you know, because what we're trying to do as a company, too, it's cool for me because when you start to, like, open up the demographic that follows us, you'll have, like you said, like a 45, 50-year-old female that you would never think looks like
in a million
watch
years.
Her content. Yeah. And so I'm thankful for it, man. I probably just don't go out as much as I do anymore.
But here's the thing. So there were about 30 kids there, and she just screamed out, oh, fuck, it's fucking Matt Best. I mean, all the parents were like, Jesus Christ. But then, so the next day, I had this conversation with an agent, a huge agent, and he was like, dude, how famous is Matt really? And I was telling him this story, and then we started breaking down your numbers. Like, you got 12 million for that last sketch you got. The highest like show in primetime right now gets like, you know, 8 to 10 million views for their show. You're beating that on a consistent basis. And I think that's what this tipping point is where, you know, fuck, man, they're seeing you more than they are their own television stars on Facebook. And I think Facebook will eventually buy into this and give you something eventually, whatever you want to do. That's just my guess.
I mean, it is what it is. The way we format things, it's really fun right now because no one has to pay to see the content. Essentially, they have the ability to support us by purchasing products from a variety of companies that we own. But that's what I truly love about doing it. It's like all our objective is to get a laugh. And then if people want to purchase on the tail end, that's fucking awesome.
Let's talk about this dick face.
Oh, God.
That posts a picture of him and Matt with the caption, I don't like this guy, but he was kind of cool in person.
Wait,
like,
what? Wait,
fuck
when?
You.
When?
No. Fuck you, you fake fuck. Like, he doesn't like you because too many of his friends share you. That's why. Well, yeah. Oh, fuck that guy. Well, guess what, you fucking faggot? Have fun putting on your stupid button-up shirt and going to your stupid fucking job. Meanwhile, we get to do cool, fun shit and hire a bunch of people and fuck you. You have no reason. There's no ample, and he didn't even know you. Like, he got out of Ranger Battalion 2 years before you were even
weird.
There.
It's
so
weird
it's a
how that
fake
goes.
Fucking narrative.
Can you say his name?
Oh, I didn't like you.
I don't know his name.
No. And we don't care what his fucking name is.
It's weird how that works, Ross. Is that, you know, Matt gets a lot of love, and there's a little hate, you know, and it's weird to have hate in our own community. And when I say community, I'm talking about the Ranger community, you know.
Well, to the testament that he was a part of that community, and like everybody else in that forum came out and like supported it, and I got private message saying, hey, we support you, like, and it was, the narrative was people are jealous because they see you everywhere and you're successful. Right. And I'm like, yeah, and it's kind of unfortunate because we want to help out as many people as we can during this process. And like, I wrote back, I'm like, feel free to dislike me. I'm a fucking dude trying to pay my bills and yeah. fuck my chick at night. That's all I'm trying to do. I just happen to be on the internet.
It's
and
just weird
shit.
When someone posts something like that. Like, his intention was to get attention as well.
100%.
Like, that's his intention. Well,
look who I'm with.
You talk like, shit on someone, yet, right. and then like, I don't like him.
It's
then
weird, bro.
We have regular communication with the former general of JSOC. We get a fucking group text message on Friday evening from the command sergeant major of JSOC. Like, fuck the why is it that the leadership sees what we're doing is important?
Funny? It's one of those things.
But this dick is like,
saw,
oh, fuck him.
I don't think he saw it in a malicious intent. I don't think he meant to do it in malicious intent. I think he did it like in the group he did it in. It's some of those guys are the guys that go to you and like, what's up, motherfucking bitch? What's up, cocksucker? It's like, it's just their bro talk, and I think he did it in that gesture. But it also is like,
yeah, but he said it to him too.
I know,
like, didn't he?
Yeah, no, he said it to me. He said to me, "I don't like you." And I was at the bar, and I was like, "Well, then why are you talking to me? Like, I'm literally with my chick, and I'm having a beer, and that's fine. You're always going to have that, and I'm not going to bitch about it because, but that is something, Ross, that I've dealt with now probably over like the last 6 months, and I guarantee. You know, you can mark this podcast on the head right here that when the book comes out, there is going to be a fucking influx of people that go, oh, typical fucking piece of shit writing a book. And it's like, listen, you don't got to buy the goddamn thing. I want to share a story of my life and my family and people that I've close friends that have sacrificed everything to tell their story. That's what this is about. It's not about me boastering about how cool I am. It's me sharing my story, and you can read it if you'd want it, and you can read it if you don't like it or if you don't.
Yeah. And the thing about it is, it's in a very humble fashion, but the book is fucking hilarious. Like, it's really goddamn funny.
Well, also too, like, I gotta tell you and Rocco this story because Matt yelled at me for being a dick in Tampa, but it was because of the way that this chick came at us. Like, we had a guy that was super cool, super polite. He was like, I don't want to bug you guys, but I'm just gonna tell you I love the movie. And then this girl sitting next to him like perks it up, and we're talking about the movie because we ran into E-Class in Tampa.
No way.
Yeah,
really?
In the fucking airport.
Yeah, second unit director.
What's up, you mother flowers? Yeah. So I was like, you realize that guy that just was up here, he was our fucking first AD.
First AD, sorry.
And he was like, no way. So the guy's talking with us and everything, and this old woman keeps kind of putting herself in it. And then finally she's like, you know, I don't know what you guys do, but I run what was it called? Sophic TV YouTube channel. And you can buy an ad on our, you could buy a video on our YouTube channel for just $1,100. And I'm like, oh, really? Like, what's Sophic TV? She's like, well, I run it. And you can get on it for just that's nothing if you think about what it costs for average. So that's when I started to go, okay, right. I pulled it up. Their average video gets 14 views. I just go, hey, for $1,100, like, we wouldn't do this because, like, we don't even get 14 views, like, in the first minute. Like, sorry.
Jared went 0 to 100. I was like, leave her alone. But she was acting like a bitch.
Pushing the sales way and like she was an expert. And that's where I got a little annoyed. And I was like, look, like, your highest viewed video, we do 40 times that in the first 10 minutes that something goes up.
It's weird, dude, because I mean, she's just trying to do her thing, but she also doesn't know
if you're gonna be a salesman, you might want to be an expert on
know the space,
I broke it down for her. I go, so essentially you want me to pay
that's where Jared's
$100 per view on your channel.
Yeah.
Like, so it's $100 per person that watches our commercial.
Yeah, that's
I'm like, that's a little high of an ad buy.
Something.
Huh? Like, and then he's like, stop being a dick. I'm like, I'm not being a dick. She drug me into this conversation.
Nothing will set Jared 0 to 100 than any number as far as social media goes.
Dude, I'm just not the guy to like want to engage with those people. I'm like, no, I'm good, thanks, if they push it. But it's just, you know, I get that shit so much, and then other people want to talk shit. I'm like, man, then fuck off and unsubscribe to my channel. Like, I don't fucking care. I'm not going to waste my, like, people that go on these forums too and write out all these messages. I'm like, you just burnt like 20 minutes of your time to talk shit on me? Why? Go for it. Thank you. I mean, it's just weird, I would ask you just to tell it to me, but my dick's probably in your mouth. So there's that.
Yeah, it's just weird. I've had some people say to me, like, hey, I didn't like this movie. It was really offensive. This one movie that you made. And I'm like, great. I can't make you unsee it. So why the fuck even bother to come up to me? Like, sorry.
Especially with internet content.
I had a 22-year-old civilian scold me for the money we raised for Range 15. Like, you should be ashamed of yourself for raising that money. That's what he said. I go, I'm not.
Oh, God.
I go, and by the way, you want to talk about changing the world? We're the only fucking movie that had 600 after parties that happened in one night. I go, you know how many? One of the most common things I ever hear anytime we meet anybody is, I met my new best friends at the Range 15 premiere.
Yeah. That is probably the coolest thing I got from the
so again, party, anytime you want to go that route of that money could have been used to help veterans, guess what it did?
It did.
Because it brought 600 fucking cities together and they all went and partied that night and they all made friends with local people in their area and those friendships are still carrying.
Yeah, so they hung out, they drank, and they partied together.
I like that.
If they don't like it, turn the head around.
Yeah, speaking about helping out the community, we got the Drinking Bro of the Week.
I'm not queued up.
This is submitted from Matt Kimmy Jr. He says, hey guys, I got a Drinking Bro of the Week, and his name is Dylan Price. He was my first team leader in Afghanistan and taught me how to be the best soldier I could be and how to be a gunner. He pulled me out of a depression spiral and touched hundreds of his other fellow soldiers. He was an outstanding K-9 MP. Showed up on every call for backup, even though he didn't need to be. He was a great overall leader. He was a fellow Drinking Bro as well and loved every part of being so. He lost his life 5/26/17 in a car accident while riding his motorcycle. He will be missed by the hundreds of men and women he touched and his family. Thanks for continuing his memory. Thank you, Matt Kimmy Jr. I appreciate it. Cheers. Oh,
thanks, brother. Thank you. Cheers to you, brother.
The reason I said George, by the way, is we also have a George Kimmy who's a Drinking Bro as well. I wonder if they're related.
I don't know.
The other thing too is I would love to end the show, Matt, with the song that you and your dad made, man. I just heard it. It was fucking awesome. Do you want to tell the
Hell yeah.
You want to tell the people what the name of it is and where they can buy it?
Yeah, for sure. I thought it was a pretty cool thing. So, like a little backstory. My dad used to tour as a country musician, you know, in California, and you know, was mainly like a local kind of guy, but phenomenal voice. And he was up here, and we were fucking around with the American Hitmen, who's a band, and they also work at Black Rifle. And we said, "Fuck it, let's write a song." And we had a little bit of whiskey and put together a song, and my dad sings on it, and you might think it's Johnny Cash.
He sounds like Johnny Cash. He sounds great.
It is,
dude.
So
he gets good. Down, bro.
Yeah, that is not Johnny Cash. That's what we were calling Papa Best on it. But here's the song coming up, and if you like it, it's on iTunes under MBest11X.
Don't touch my guns.
Don't touch my guns. Awesome, man. For Matt Best, Jared Taylor, Rocco, I am Ross Patterson. This is Don't Touch My Guns. Buy it on iTunes for Papa Best. Let's see if we can get Papa Best number one.
Let's do it.
I've traveled the world a couple times. I've seen some shit and I've blurred some lines. It's been hard, but some's been fine. I may be old and I may be mean, but my blood is red and my money's green. But don't you dare touch my guns. You can marry a rock, you can marry a tree. Man can wear a dress and sit to pee. You do your thing and I'll be me. I don't care if you're straight or gay. Identify as a dog for a day. Just don't ever touch my guns. Don't touch my guns. Don't touch my guns. Don't touch my guns. I'll fuck you up. I seen these punks in their skinny jeans, hipster glasses and Bernie tees. None of it makes much sense to me. You're free to be what you wanna be. Your freedom's yours, but it ain't free. Just don't you ever touch my guns. Don't touch my guns. Don't touch my guns. Don't touch my guns. I'll fuck you up. not touched by guns.